Good morning, everybody. It's good to be together. Good to see you all. We put some chairs in here. I think we need to put a few more chairs in next week, so we will definitely do that, but we're glad that you're here. Open your Bible to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. It's important that we get into the Word of God, that you hold it, that you turn your device on some way, that you're putting your eyes on it in addition to listening to what I'm saying. In Isaiah 43, God's chosen people, the Israelites, were in dire straits. They were facing difficult circumstances. They were in exile in Babylon. And you know, it reminds us that life isn't always easy, even for God's people. Sometimes we're deluded into believing and thinking that if we're following God, he's going to make the sun always shine on us. Just simply not true. Sometimes life is hard, it's difficult, it's painful. Mistreatment by even seemingly nice people, good people, they mistreat us. The children of Israel were facing these kinds of circumstances. And as I look at Isaiah 43, we're not going to go in any depth today. I'm going to be very brief because we want to have communion. And I want to give you an opportunity to share this morning what God has been saying and doing in your life. But I want to just draw some things from Isaiah 43 to help us. And I don't know if you're in that situation today, whether things are difficult for you or not. But if not, the day may come in the near future. I know it's been that way for me, kind of like a roller coaster. Right when you think things are good, the bottom drops out and more trials come. What do we do in those times? Well, in this chapter, I see God doing several things as the Lord speaks over and over. It says the Lord speaks, and God is speaking to you. He's speaking to me. He was speaking to them. And one of the things he does is he draws their attention to identity. That's very critical for us if we're going to remain stable through life as things change, is that we're rooted in identity, who God is and who we are. So we're going to look at identity as described here. And secondly, focus. Where do we look? When everything's moving and flying and loose, where do we maintain our focus? Just want to remind you of a couple things from this text. So let's think about identity. The first thing the Lord does, the Lord who is speaking, he reminds them who he is. And that's what we all need, to continually remind ourselves and be rooted and anchored in who God is. In verse 11, he said, I am the Lord. Apart from me, there is no Savior. In verse 10, he said, I understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. He said, you're my witnesses. I am God. And my friends, you need to be reminded of that today. It may seem like your life is out of control, that no one is in charge, but God is in charge. He is on the throne. Regardless of what you're dealing with. Throughout the chapter, he describes himself. He reminds them of who he is. Three times he said, he is the Holy One. I am the Holy One. I am your creator, he said four times. That's who I am, and your creator. I am the Redeemer, your Savior, your King. All of these things he reminds them of. And I want to remind you of that today. That he formed you, he made you. That's who he is. He's in charge. Don't ever forget it. But he also reminds them of who they are. And he begins that right in verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel. And then listen to this. He said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Oh, identity is so important. Identity is so important, my friends. If you've been saved, if you're trusting in Jesus today, I want to remind you that you're his. And you're in the palm of his hand. That's who you are. He summoned you. He's called you by name. You belong to him, the King, the Creator, the Redeemer. You are his. Said in verse 4, you are precious and honored in my sight. I love you. Allow it to wash over you. That's who you are. You're the beloved son, daughter of God through Jesus Christ. He's on the throne. He's the king. He's the redeemer. He's the only savior. And he says to you, I want to remind you that I summoned you. I called you by name. You are mine. You're precious. You're honored. I love you. Imagine the Israelites during this exile, all the heartache, all the difficulty, receiving this message once again, being reminded of who they are, God's chosen people. And he's given them a purpose. He said in verse 10, I've chosen you so that you may know me and believe in me and understand that I am he. He said in verse 12, you are my witnesses. And in verse 21, the people I form for myself that you may proclaim my praise. So my friend, you have a purpose in life, and it's to know God and to make him known, to bring glory to him, to proclaim his name, to be his witness. And this is a wonderful time of year to do that, to look for opportunities to tell people who God is and to proclaim his goodness. So he speaks of identity. He declares who he is. He reminds them who he is and who they are and the relationship between themselves and God. And then he helps them know where to focus. And first of all, in verse 16, he tells them, look back. And there's a sense in which it's important during difficult times to remember God's faithfulness in the past. So in verse 16, he draws them back to that time in their history when he delivered them miraculously. In verse 16, it says, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. And they knew exactly what that was. Their deliverance with Moses' leadership. Now he parted the waters and miraculously delivered them. And now he's saying to them, just remember, that's who I am, and I can deliver you. I can, again, make a way for you. And my friends, it's important that we look back and we remember God's faithfulness. And in a few moments, as we've said several times this morning, we're going to take some time as a family here just to talk about what God's been doing. He's been doing some good things. He's at work in your life. He's speaking to you. Often it's helpful to hear from other people words of testimony, encouragement about God's faithfulness. There's a sense in which we need to look back, but then it's almost seems to be inconsistent. He tells them then they need to forget the past. In verse 18, he tells them, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing, he said. And now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I think we can err on either side of that. It's easy for us as individuals or as a body, as a church family, to err on either side. Either we are so fixated on the past, so convinced that we need to live somehow in the past, to perpetuate the past, that we miss what God is doing, the new thing he's doing, because all we're doing is looking back. But we can also err on the other side. Like the Athenians in Acts 17. And it said they would gather together and all they would do all day is talk about the latest new idea. But I would say to you today that I believe God wants us as his people to look back and to remember, which we're going to do as we have communion together. And to remember what God has done. He said, remember, I made a way. And God made a way for you and for me to be saved, as we've been singing about, to know him. But my friends, it's not just what he did. Guess what? He's doing something now. He's doing something new. And God is the Ancient of Days, but he's the God of today and of tomorrow. He's not only the king, he's our coming king. And he's at work today in the world, redeeming people for himself. And he invites us in to that new thing, to be part of what he's doing, to participate in the advance of his kingdom. He is doing a new thing. And it's not about lights and paint and carpet. It's not about that. It's about changed hearts and lives. That's what he's doing. And it's about reaching people who today have no hope, who today do not know who God is, reaching them and bringing them in so that they too can be people of praise. This morning we're going to take some time to remember, to look back, and to realize that God made a way for you and for me. As we sang a few moments ago, that hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," I was so overwhelmed as we were talking and singing together about the sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole. All of it. Those things that I would never want you to know, that I would never want anyone to know, that I'm so ashamed of, that I have done, the ways in which I've failed and fallen, all of those things, everyone was nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you bow with me and let's pray and ask God to help us to draw near. Lord, we thank you today for this time to worship. And we thank you for the reminders in your word of who you are and of how you've called us and summoned us and saved us and made us your own. And now, oh God, I pray that in the remainder of our time here, that you will focus our minds and our hearts on what you have done for us, how you made a way through Jesus, and also on what you are doing today and what you want to do in the days to come. So Lord, we come now, we pray that you will prepare our hearts to gather around your table and to remember. Thank you. Come, Lord Jesus, come in your fullness. It's in your name we pray. Amen.